Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening is from Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 14, and then verses 20 to 25. The next day when they left Bethany, Jesus became hungry. In the distance he saw a fig tree with leaves, and he went to see if he could find anything on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, and his disciples heard him, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." When they walked by early in the morning, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is dried up." "Believe in God," Jesus answered them, "I tell you the truth. Whoever says to this mountain, 'Be lifted up and be thrown into the sea,' and has no doubt in his mind but believes what he says, will be done. It will be done for him. That is why I tell you, everything you ask for in prayer, believe that you have already received it, and you will have it. When you stand and pray, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. But if you do not forgive, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins." These are the words of our text. Our Lord Jesus is now continuing his journey to Jerusalem, where he will suffer and die. The events of our text are the Monday after Palm Sunday. Jesus has entered triumphantly into Jerusalem and then returned to Bethany, and now he's journeying back from Bethany to Jerusalem. And as he is walking in the distance, he sees a fig tree. He didn't have anything to eat yet, and he was hungry. And looking at the fig tree, he imagined that there should be figs there that he could eat. And so he went and he looked at the fig tree, and there were lots of leaves, but no figs. And Mark tells us that our Lord cursed the fig tree because he found no figs there. "May no one eat fruit from you again." Sounds rather harsh on the part of our Lord, isn't it? I mean, after all, Mark also tells us that it wasn't the season for figs. But yet, a fig tree is supposed to simultaneously have leaves and fruit on at the same time. And so our Lord is not unrealistic in expecting that as he sees leaves on the tree, that there would be figs there also. But seeing no figs, he curses the tree. There was no fruit there. Now, is it a matter of Jesus getting up on the wrong side of the bed that day? Does he not like Mondays any more than the rest of us? Why this anger towards this tree? What if you were hungry and you saw a tree? Maybe not a fig tree, let's say an apple tree. And you're hoping to find an apple there to satisfy your hunger, and there's no apples there. You're going to be a little upset, aren't you? A little disappointed. I don't know that we would necessarily curse the tree. But the tree was a hypocrite, if you will. It looked good from a distance, but up close, it had no fruit. It had no fruit. And Jesus uses that tree and its lack of fruit to teach his disciples and also you and I a lesson. The next day, they're walking by this tree again, and Peter notices that the tree is withered from the roots. And he remembers what our Lord had said the day before. He says, look, the tree's dried up that you cursed. And Jesus answers, believe in God. I tell you the truth, whoever says to this mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and has no doubt in his mind, but believes what he says will be done, it will be done for him. Now, to understand Jesus' illustration, we have to understand that the path that they're taking from Bethany to Jerusalem is along a mountain that's about 2,500 feet above sea level. And as they're walking along that path in the distance, they can see the Dead Sea, which is about 1,600 feet below sea level. Jesus is saying, anyone who believes in God can say to this mountain that we're on, be lifted up and thrown into that sea. He says, believe in God. He's calling for his disciples to have faith. But he wants faith that shows. Jesus looked at the fig tree and was looking for figs. Jesus looks to you and I, and he also hopes to see figs. Faith in God shows. Faith, F, in I, God, G, shows, S, figs. Faith in God shows. And how does our faith in God show? Jesus tells us. It shows itself in prayer. Jesus says, the one who prays, believing in God, and believes that what he asks will be done, it'll be done for him. Now, I suppose that puts you and I in a little bit of a predicament, doesn't it? Because we oftentimes pray to God. We pray in belief. We pray that someone may be healed. We pray for all sorts of things, that someone might have safe journeys, that our men and women serving overseas may be kept safe. But what happens then when the prayer isn't answered the way we believed it would? Does that mean God hasn't heard our prayer? Does it mean God's got it out for us not to answer our prayer the way we want it? No. We tend to forget that in our prayers, we ask that God's will would be done. But here Jesus is not so concerned with the answer to the prayer as he is in the faith in which one prays. When my wife and I lived in the Upper Peninsula, there was a large bluff that blocked our view from the parsonage out to Lake Superior. Now, granted, Lake Superior was about 15 miles from our home. But I often told the people, you know, Jesus says, say to this mountain, move, and it'll be moved. And I can say, God, move that bluff over so that I can see Lake Superior out my window. Now, the bluff never moved. But that didn't mean that God couldn't do it. You see, faith is believing that even if God doesn't answer the prayer the way I want him to, that he still has the ability to do it. Think of Abraham and his son Isaac. And they're going up Mount Moriah where Abraham is going to sacrifice him. This is the one upon whom all the promise rests. And Isaac says, Dad, we got the wood. We have the fire. But where's the sacrifice? To which Abraham says, God will provide it. And Abraham was willing to put to death his son Isaac, to sacrifice him to God, knowing that all of that promise rested upon him, but also knowing that in spite of that, God would still bring all those promises to fulfillment. And then we wonder why in the letter to the Hebrews And even in our epistle lesson, Abraham's faith is held up as an example to us. Faith shows itself in our prayers, in that even if God should not answer the way we want Him to, we know that He has the power and the ability to answer that way. Even though God wasn't going to pick up that mountain and put it into the Dead Sea, faith believed that God had the power to do it. That's what Jesus is getting at, that in our prayers we should believe in God. How often aren't we sometimes simply going through the motions, simply saying words, but not really believing, maybe only half believing that God hears, only half believing that God would answer them. But our Lord Jesus not only talks about prayer, He shows in His own life the importance of prayer. We see Jesus many times at prayer, on the mountain by Himself, on the hillside with 5,000 men giving thanks over 5 loaves and 2 fish that will be multiplied to them. Even from the cross, we see Him praying for His enemies. So our Lord Jesus not only talks about prayer, but He shows it to us as well. And then our Lord, continuing on, says that when you stand and pray, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And forgiveness is also how faith shows itself in our lives, as we forgive those who wrong us. And again, Jesus not only talks about forgiveness, but He demonstrates it again and again. Forgiveness for His enemies. Forgiveness for Peter, who will deny Him. Recall a few days after our Lord's resurrection, and they're on the seashore, and Jesus asking Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" Jesus forgave him. Jesus forgave those who were crucifying Him. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And He forgives you and I also. But sometimes it's hard for us to forgive, isn't it? Because the pain that's associated with perhaps the betrayal or the denial or the sin that's been inflicted upon us at the hands, the actions, the thoughts, the words of someone else, it may be difficult to forgive. But our Lord says that faith shows itself as we forgive others. A teacher once wanted to demonstrate to her students how burdensome the weight of unforgiveness was. And so she asked her students to bring in one day a plastic bag and also a bag of potatoes. And every time they had an encounter with somebody over something and they weren't going to forgive that person, they couldn't forgive that person, they're to take a marker and put that person's name on that potato and stick it in their sack, their plastic bag, and they were supposed to carry that bag with them everywhere they went for the next week. Some students' plastic bags became very heavy with potatoes. I sometimes wonder if I were a student how heavy my bag would get. You see, we can talk a good talk about being forgiving, but the reality might be quite different. Well, they had to carry this bag with them on the bus. They had to set it on their nightstand when they went to bed. It had to sit on the chair next to them when they were eating a meal. Every place they went, they'd have to carry this bag of potatoes, and it was heavy and it was cumbersome. And you know what? After a week carrying that bag of potatoes around, guess what began to happen? Have you ever had that scent in your kitchen? And you went hunting around, where is that smell coming from? And you went into the cupboard or the pantry, and there, perhaps in a deep, dark corner recess, was a plastic bag of potatoes that you brought home when you forgot about them. And they started to get fuzzy and slimy and smelly. Well, imagine carrying a bag like that around. And that's really what we do when we're not willing to forgive people, isn't it? We carry around a burden. And the one that is affected most by our spirit of unforgivingness is ourselves, isn't it? We're the ones continuing to be unforgiving. We're the ones carrying around that burden. We're the ones surrounded by that stench. And yet when we offer forgiveness, it's gone. And our Lord Jesus not only speaks forgiveness, he demonstrates it most perfectly at the cross. But if we are looking for figs on ourselves, we may say, well, but Pastor, my prayer life isn't what it should be. And I'm not always forgiving. Does that mean I don't have faith? By no means. Because if we look for faith in ourselves, we're not going to find it. One seminary professor says, whenever we look for faith in ourselves, the bugger goes hiding. We have to look for our faith at the cross and at the one who dies on the cross. We find our faith rooted in Jesus Christ. And that's the lesson our Lord wants us to learn as we journey with him from Bethany to Jerusalem today. To understand that he wants our faith to show itself in our lives. He doesn't want us to look good from a distance with lots of leaves. He wants us also to bear fruit. And to show that fruit in our prayers for one another, for ourselves, for the needs of our world, but also to be forgiving, to let that forgiveness flow from us to those around us who hurt us. Maybe in our minds we don't think that they deserve that forgiveness, but do any of us really deserve God's forgiveness? That's why it's a gift. That's why it's God's grace, his undeserved love toward us. And may that lesson go with us, not only tonight on the way from Bethany to Jerusalem, but through all the days of our lives. And may our Lord Jesus, the center and focus of our faith, continue to increase it, that it may show itself more and more to his glory. Amen.